The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right. Let me pray for our study. Daniel has been our focus. We're going to kind of shift gears a little bit, still talking about Daniel and the land of Babylon. But we're going to look at a letter written by a guy named Jeremiah to Daniel and his friends while they were in captivity. So Jeremiah 29. Let me pray for us and then check out this video. God, thank you so much again for your word. Thank you for your love for us. God, as we open up your word this morning, help us to hear from it and receive it, the truth that you have for us today. While looking at its context and the meaning in which it was originally given, we believe that we can have guidance in the way we are to live today. So God, speak to us now as we look into your word. In your name we pray, amen. As we have discovered that we live in a land that is not necessarily bent on serving our God, we find ourselves asking the question, how do the people of God live in such a land? When we have words like, in God we trust on our money, and one nation under God and our pledge, but it's probably one of the farthest things from our mind, what do we do in that kind of situation? Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the story of Daniel in the land of Babylon. We've been looking at how God, although a people of God, the nation of Israel, brought into the land of Babylon, although they were in an evil place under an evil king, serving in an evil empire, God has still been in control, and God is still in control today. And in this series, I have not attempted to try to tell you who to vote for. I've not tried to raise any particular political issues. I've simply said, let's look at what the scriptures tell us about those of us who are called the children of God. The principles we've seen in scripture, I believe, are 100% applicable for us today. And if you've missed any of the weeks of this message series, you can go to our website and listen to our podcast, but I believe today stands strong and stands alone as we look at the prophet Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, a lot of people know a verse from it. There's probably a few families in here who have possibly a picture or a poster or a coffee mug or a t-shirt with a very famous verse from Jeremiah chapter 29. The verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I remember seeing this verse on a beautiful painting that reminded me of my home growing up. I grew up in colorful Colorado, the land of the amazing Denver Broncos and John Elway. And during that time, I loved looking out towards the mountains and seeing snow-capped peaks year-round, and my family was a big camping family. So when I saw this painting of these beautiful mountains and this beautiful lake and pine trees with sunshine, and I saw the verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope in a future, plans to prosper you and not harm you, I said, yes, one day I'll be back in God's land in Denver, Colorado. Well, the truth is that verse was written to a different people at a different time, not in a land of majestic mountains and beautiful lakes, but it was written to a people in captivity, in a land ruled by an evil king, governed by dark arts and the occult. It was far from colorful Colorado. And yet many times we want to read verses like that in the Bible, and we want to make declarations like, God is for me and for my future. I may be going through a struggle right now, but next week everything is going to be better. And sometimes that can be the farthest thing from the truth. Now this verse is for us, I believe. This verse is about God's desire for us to have hope, God's desire for us to have peace and prosperity. But sometimes that looks a little different through God's eyes than ours. And what I want us to see today, that the context in which these words were written from the prophet Jeremiah to a people in captivity And it gives it a whole different look if you are willing to look. Jeremiah 29 is a letter written from Jeremiah to the Babylonian, the exiles in Babylon. If you've been a part of the series, you've seen that Babylon is a symbol of evil. It's still to this day, in many ways, is looked at as a symbol of evil. The Babylonian Empire was one of the most devastating empires of all time, leveling city walls, crushing people and tearing them to shreds, and enslaving many people and making them servants to a king. In this setting, these words were written. In 597, Nebuchadnezzar, 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar took many Israelites into captivity. Verse 1 and 2 of Jeremiah 29 tells us these words. It says, "This is the text in the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, to the surviving elders among the exiles and the priests, to the prophets and all the other people that Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So, simply to understand, if there's a word surviving here, to the surviving elders, there were definitely many who didn't survive. It was a time of terrible things. Terrible things were being suffered at the hands of the king. The walls of the city from which they were torn were torn down. The temple where they worshipped God and king was ransacked. Many people were killed in the streets, and thousands were now enslaved to serve this evil king. Many of the families were from noble backgrounds, and many leaders and rulers in the land of the Israelites were captured. And even though this land was an evil, evil land led by an evil king, God sent them anyway. You heard me right. God sent them. We'll see that in our reading today. God had a plan. From the beginning of time, it's always been God's plan that he would use his people to reach the people who do not yet know him. God loves not only those who consider him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but God loves those who do not yet know him. And God's plan, as he said to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, "I will bless you and I will send you. I will send you to a city where you will go and you will be a blessing to the nations." This has been God's plan from the beginning of the ages, that he would use his people to share his love with those in our world. God's plan was to send these people into the city of Babylon. The historian and theologian Augustine wrote the words, "Throughout human history, there has been a constant battle and struggle between the city of man and the city of God." And in this setting, what we see happening is God not telling the people that they are going to be rescued from the city, but instead, he is going to build his city within that evil city. This is our mission. This has been the mission from the beginning. Cities are a place of importance. It is said that close to 80% of the world's population live in cities. In our city alone, there are more than 70 nations represented. Of those 70 nations, many of the Spanish-speaking nations are lumped together into one people group, but there's 22 Spanish-speaking nations represented in our county. God has called us to be missionaries in our city. It's been said if we reach our cities, we can reach the world. So what should the people of God do when confronted with the knowledge that we now live in a city that has a Babylonian zip code? How are we to keep our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, regardless of who sits on a seat in the White House? I want to take time to look today at some words of encouragement from the prophet Jeremiah and from the stories we've been reading in the book of Daniel. When we discover that we live in a land such as ours, or anyone who lives in a land like Babylon, it's tempting to want to retreat, to withdraw, to pull back, to move, to escape. When God laid on my heart the calling to plant a church, I said, "Great God, but anywhere but D.C. God had a different plan. I had my eyes on a place like beautiful Colorado, but that was too far from the beach for Brandy, so I was willing to settle for North or South Carolina. But here we still are. When this message was received by the Israelites who were living in ghettos, Jewish ghettos in the land of Babylon, they were hoping that a message from a prophet, the words of God would come that would say, get ready, prepare to be saved. I, the Lord, am about to rescue you. That was what they were hoping for. But they received an entirely different message. And I'm sure when as they were in their homes, huddling together with like-minded Jews in their ghetto of sorts, trying to survive and make ends meet in this land of Babylon, when this message from the prophet came, I'm sure they were shocked. And some even rejected it. There was another prophet, we won't get to that today, but another prophet by the name of Zedekiah, who rejected this message from Jeremiah and even said, God, how can you let a prophet like this speak your words? But the words given to Jeremiah were true, and they were from God, and they were for these people. These people were living in an evil city, surrounded by a people bent on their destruction. Many of these people were used in the killing of their friends and loved ones. And how could God want them to stay there? But instead of saying, okay, I've heard your cries. You are my people. I'm about to rescue you. God has a different message entirely. And he says, build houses and settle down. In verses 4, 5, and 6, we see these words from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote these words. It says, this is what the Lord, the Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those whom I have carried into exile. You see, on the minds of those who were in captivity, they saw themselves as abandoned, as captive, as living in exile, as ones who were forsaken. But God, instead of seeing them as captives, called them sent ones, called them missionaries, and is now telling them, I have a plan for you. This is what the Lord, the Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here are the words that you need to hear. Build houses. Settle down. These guys were wanting to not have permanent jobs. They were wanting to rent because they were just sure they'd be back in Jerusalem any day. But God says, no, I've got a longer plan for you. Marry. Have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. And also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. These words, as shocking as they may have seen, probably weren't too much different than some real estate ads that you might come across. That may be a little misleading. You ever seen the words charming in a real estate ad? Usually means a home as big as a shed, right? Or seen the words needs a little work, which means bring your own wrecking ball. Or seen the words like luxurious library, to come to find out there's a nice walk-in closet with a few bookshelves in it. These words are hard to take sometimes and can be misleading. Like, you want us to build a house here? You want us to plant a garden here? Don't you realize where we're living? There's religious persecution. We have the Babylonian school system. You want us to send our kids there? There's a corrupt government that's led by an evil ruler who thinks he's God, who all the rulers are practice the occult and witchcraft and sorcery. God, you can't be serious. This can't be your plan for us. And yet it was, and it is for us today. They were waiting for a message to rise up and rebel, that God would lead them out to victory. But God said instead, settle down. I have a plan for you. I have a plan to plant the city of God in the middle of the city of man. It was God's plan to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Today, I want us to take an opportunity to look at a few key things that I think will encourage us today in how we live in a land such as this. Instead of seeing ourselves as captives and hanging our head down in shame at the idea of any of our candidates becoming president, we have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who's still in control and who still wants to lead us. God knew they were in exile, but He didn't send them there to be captives. He sent them there to be missionaries, to seek the welfare of the city. He told them, as you bless the city, you will find my blessings for you. Where has God sent you? Where has God sent us? Acts chapter 17, Paul tells us that God has appointed the time and the season and the boundaries in which we should live, that we would be used to reach the people that God has placed around us. God is the good shepherd who would leave the 99 sheep to go after the one that is lost. And there are many in our county and our city and our nation and our world who do not yet know Him. And we are His plan A to reach them. Not to pull back, not to start our own church groups and church leagues and pull away from the world, but to be in the world and yet not of it. To be salt and light in the midst of darkness. To be a city on a hill, so that those who are in this world will see us and how we love one another and how we love them and come to know our Father in heaven as their own. 1 Peter tells us that we are not to see this world as our home, but we are in a very real sense living in exile ourselves. We are living here for a short time, and we're to live here as resident aliens, ambassadors from our King, declaring the news of who Jesus is to our world. Jesus Himself said, as the Father has sent me, now I send you. Every one of us who considers ourselves a child of God, who sees Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are called to be a missionary. Missions is not just some group in our church or in any one church that takes care of mission work. Every single one of us is called to missions. I remember seeing this in a unique way while standing on the sideline of a soccer field one time when I saw our coach Rob. He's not here today, but a lot of soccer teams helped us start Hope Hill Church about 6 years ago. And I remember seeing Coach Rob urge the defenders, Sarah and Megan Gleason. Actually, Megan was a midfielder, but Sarah Gleason and others, telling them to push forward. And it was his idea that anyone in the field would be able to score, that everybody would be on the offensive, even those in a defensive place. And the teams that have won World Cup after World Cup have been those who have played attacking from no matter how deep you are, no matter what position you're in, all of us on the offense trying to work together to score. This is God's plan for us as the body of believers that He's called us to be. That the job of a missionary is not just set aside for one small group of people. It is for each and every one of us. Taking the land where He is sending us. Wherever you eat, study, play, or shop, God is sending you. You may be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a physician. You might be, that's the same as a doctor, but you get what I'm saying. No matter what job you have, that's just a clever disguise because you're really a missionary. You're really an ambassador sent by God on the mission of God. And these people, they were like, how could God be sending us to Babylon? How could He want us to stay here? But He had a plan for them. Number one, the first step in His plan was that they establish a presence in the city. In verses 5 and 6, it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters and find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number and do not decrease. What this is telling us is the importance of the everyday life. We are called to be everyday missionaries in how we treat our neighbors, and how we work with our coworkers and how we drive on our highways. I feel convicted. In everyday details, we are to bring glory to God and to be the presence of God. The scriptures tell us, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. We are called to be a presence, to be the people of God, planted in the city of men, so that we raise up the city of God. We are here to be resident aliens. Jesus himself said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell imply that the church is going to be on the attack. And we are to leave these walls. This isn't the church. We are the church. And we go out of here as the church, attacking the areas of darkness that are in our city, nation, and world. God has called us to be his missionaries. Not to pull away, not to form our own church sports leagues, but to join leagues where we can run with the best of them and be missionaries with those who do not yet know him. I'm not anti-church league. It's just sometimes God wants us to be very intentional about where we do our hobbies, where we play our sports, where we eat our food. When was the last time you prayed for your barista? When was the last time you prayed for the cashier you see regularly where you shop? When was the last time you saw that as part of your mission? Everything in life is a part of God's plan. And every detail in our life can be used as a part of his plan. God wants us to see ourselves as the church planted in this city. Number two, we are not only to be present in the city, a city on a hill, we are to also seek the peace of the city. Not seek peace in the city, but of the city. We're not called to build a stained glass cathedral where like-minded believers like us can gather together to keep ourselves from being stained by the culture outside of these walls. But instead, we're called to seek the peace of the city. The word peace here is shalom. In some translations, it's better translated, seek the welfare of the city. What is welfare? What is shalom? What is peace? It is wholeness, completeness, health, safety, harmony, well-being. We are to seek these things, not for just one another, but for the city where God has placed us. We need to come to realize that we will find God's blessing for us when we are blessing those God has put around us, doing all we can to further the public good. I remember watching a newscast years ago when the tornadoes hit Oklahoma. The day after a city official was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked, we've heard that it might take some time for government relief to arrive. How are you getting by? And the official on the broadcast said, we're not worried about the government and what time they'll get here because the church has already arrived. We need to see ourselves as plan A. We are to bring hope. We are to bring help. We are to bring light and peace. How does this manifest itself in our culture, in our society? Simple things like volunteering in your local school, taking the opportunity to be a part of a food pantry or a ministry that feeds the poor, serving the homeless like many of you already do, getting on board some of those efforts, greeting one another simply as you pull into your driveways. We have a land where everybody has a working garage door opener and you never have to see your neighbor. You pull right in, shut your door, walk in your house, and never have to smile at the person who lives next to you. We need to instead see ourselves embracing the people of every ethnic background in our community. This area in Prince William County has been called and deemed a minority-majority area. There's no other place like it in the world where we can literally reach the nations by reaching our backyard. Over 70 nations with 20-plus Spanish-speaking nations represented right here in our midst. We need to embrace these people who do not yet know God. We need to look at how we can become the go-to people, the go-to places, the go-to homes. When somebody in your neighborhood has a need, do they know they can come to you to have that need met? The go-to room in your dorm at school, the go-to person in your place of work who is there to bring hope and encouragement in the time of despair. I remember Nathan called me one day and said, I just had a great time praying with my coworker. He's going through a rough time, and he heard me talking to you once and thought I was a believer, and he came and shared his problem with me, and I got to pray with him. Do you see yourself this way? We could do all of these things, meet all of these needs, and still, though, miss bringing the peace that God wants us to bring. We have to be careful that it isn't just a good deed doing organization that we are seeking to become, but still doing this all under the banner of Jesus Christ. Feeding and meeting physical needs so that we have an opportunity to share and meet spiritual needs. Sharing with them that peace can only be found in the one true God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds, but it can only be found in Christ Jesus." Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If we are not bringing Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of peace we're pursuing. Jesus said, "Love your neighbors as you love yourselves," and he demonstrated this on how he lived. We are to seek the peace and the prosperity of the city in which God has sent us. Number three, we need to pray for the prosperity of the city. Jeremiah 29 says, verse 7, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I've carried you, but also pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." In the blessing and the praying of the city, we will find our own blessing. The old proverb says, "A rising tide lifts all boats." As we seek the benefits of those around us, we will in turn receive benefits. God's not asking us to simply pray for one another and to take care of ourselves. Unfortunately, there are many churches that say, "Unless you're a member, we can't help you." God never had that be as his agenda. God's always been planning on reaching the nations by using us, the people of God, on the mission of God. And this has to start with prayer. God is for the city and wants us praying for the city. And all we do, we must pray. Daniel, in chapter 6, verse 10, tells us that he continued to pray even when it was against the law. Three times a day, he would sit down and pray. I'm not advocating that you become some legalistic person that says, "Oh, I must sit down and pray three times a day," but instead, do what Paul says when he says, "Pray without ceasing." And you're coming and going, no matter what you're doing, in your sports, when you're trying to win the game, in your place of employment, when you're performing your standard duties, when the person in front of you cuts you off on the highway, are you praying? Not praying for God to get them, but praying for God to bless them. Pray without ceasing. Praying for our city. When was the last time you prayed for your neighbor? When was the last time you prayed for your school's principal? When was the last time you prayed for the leaders of our community? God has called us to be a praying people in all that we do. We must pray. God never intended for the church to be a huddled away bushel on a hill this little light of mine. I'm trying to remember the words. God doesn't want us hidden away under a bushel. Is that right? Under a bush. Oh, no. Okay. You get what I'm saying. But instead, he's called us to shine, to be light in darkness, to be salt, and to make a difference, to be in the world and not of it. Think of your favorite football team. Imagine if all of their money and resources was simply poured into an excellent athletic facility where the state of the art equipment was there, where they could come and greeters were at the door ready to give them their favorite beverage of choice, and padded warm seats were there. We need padded warm seats. Where all the state-of-the-art equipment was there to help them improve their game, where they could watch film and HD and surround sound and learn techniques of how to win games, but never actually went on the field and played. For far too many churches, this is what we've become. Let's build comfortable facilities where we can enjoy programs for our family and people that we like and get along with. And pray for those sinners out there. We've got to get in the game. This is a place where we get equipped and enabled so that we can get out there and be the church. God's never called us to go to a place called a church. He's called us to be a people called by God, the community of God, the city of God, in the midst of the cities where He has planted us. We are called to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will take care of everything else. What's your mission? Where is God sending you? Where has He sent you already? Have you seen that as your mission, as God's mission? As a corporate church, we believe this to be the case. We believe that God has enabled us, equipped us, and brought us together to be on His mission to make a difference out there. Others are seeing it and getting encouraged by it. Others are saying, how can we help? Some of you were able to help us with the vision tour we did recently. For those of you who didn't, a video was filmed and put together to capture our heartbeat. Check this out.
The focus of the vision tour was to really to expose churches, teams, of the great need of a gospel witness in the Woodbridge area. Would split up in twos and threes as we would walk the streets and we'd go in the stores, but we were just talking to God all the way through. Hope Church there has established what they call a Hope Center.
Like Jesus said to His disciples, go into the deep waters and to cast our nets on the right side of the boat. We believe that Jesus is calling us to go deeper and farther than we've yet gone, to cast our nets deeper and wider so that more and more people can hear of His love and be introduced to the hope that only comes through Him, the way, the truth, and the life.
To provide Christian ministries to the at-large community through various means such as ESL, counseling center, after school care, so forth. But that would be the means or the catalyst then to reach people with the gospel and then funnel them into these church plants. To see how the Hope Church members have taken personal ownership, if you wish, of that ministry, applying their spiritual gifts, using it in all kinds of creative ways.
We have been called by a great and amazing God to be His vessels of hope to Northern Virginia, starting right here in Prince William County and beyond.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. These plans that God has for us are for this city. They were for those people to reach that city. They were told when 70 years has passed. Verse 10. Did you hear that number? 70 years. when you have given your lifetime to serving the city where I've sent you, then I will give you your blessing. Let's pray. Father God, you are an amazing God. You are a loving God, a giving God. You are the good shepherd who would leave the 99 just to find the one if there was one out there that was lost. God, in this same way, you have called us to be the people of God sent on the mission of God to go out into our cities, our nations, and our world to declare your truth and your love, to give your hope and to help others find you and find hope in you. God, I pray that as a church that you would help us to unite together with other brothers and sisters in Christ and other local churches and congregations. We know that this city is the place where you have sent all of us, not just Hope Hill Church, but all of us as children of God. Churches united together to reach you and to reach others so that they can reach you. God, equip us. Enable us, empower us to be your church, to be missionaries living in a foreign land, the land of Prince William County. Help us to see that mission for us in our everyday lives. I also pray, Lord Jesus, for those who might be here this morning who don't yet know you as Lord. God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that has never called out to you and said, Father, forgive me for the things that I've done in my life that are wrong. Your scripture promises that if we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and you are just and you will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray that we would call out to you. As we humble ourselves and repent of our sins and seek your face, your word says that you will forgive us of our sins and you will heal our land. God, we pray that this would be the case, that we sitting in this room would be united together to be the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. God, I pray for those who may be calling out to you right now for the first time, that you would help them to see you, that you would help the Holy Spirit to come and invade their lives and to transform them so they can become followers of you. If you're here this morning, you can call out to God right now from your heart, Father, come into my life, forgive me, help me to live for you, help me to be transformed by you, make me new. God, and for those of us who already know you as Father and Savior and Lord, help us to surrender all of our lives as ambassadors that you've called us to be. Show us our next step where we go to school. Show us our next step where we work. Show us our next step where we play, where we do our hobbies. God, seeing those lands, those places as the mission field you've called us to. And help us to realize that this is only possible because you demonstrated the example for us. When you laid down your life and took our sins upon yourself, your blood was shed to forgive us, and you conquered sin and death and victory to help us to live new life. On the night that you were betrayed, you took bread and broke it and said, this is the new covenant in my body and my blood, and I give to you. As you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, remember what I've done for you. God, as we prepare ourselves to take communion, help us to eat of it and drink of it as a reminder that we are called to live it now for you. Help us to live our life serving you. Move among us now, I pray, in your name. If you're here this morning and you gave your heart to Jesus, come on up and let me know. I'd love to celebrate that with you. If you're here this morning and you're feeling tug and pulled to live and serve God in more areas of your life, then you're hearing the Holy Spirit. He is wanting to use each and every one of us in each and every area of our life to serve him. Surrender to that call. If you want to pray about something, I'd love to pray with you. We have prayer team members around the side of the room willing to pray with you as well. And then as you're ready, come on up to receive communion. We have a station in the back as well. Let us remember why we're doing this, because of what he did for us. respond now as you feel led.